as Damien would say, want to kick back with a bit of live, laugh, love.
I'm always saying that. You're absolutely right. You've nailed me there. And the big thing that Mattel have taken out of this is that it's been a really successful movie. So more movies should be made about toys, not about bringing down the patriarchy.
Let's see. Can Polly Pocket World live up to the hype?
And you can tell it's been movie night in the Hemming household because I've just found a bit of popcorn on my jumper. I'll save that for later.
Are we looking at high stakes knitting here? Because I'm in.
The binoche is bosh. I don't know what that means. Sorry, I have no idea. I think that's what the kids say on the TikTok.
Getting your ears pierced in the window of the shop so everyone could watch.
I've always been a classy babe, so I've already said that.
Well, this one's got Kolon on the Last Airbender after it.
Depending on what I've eaten, my colon is an airbender.
This podcast was recorded remotely and contains adult themes and language. Hello and welcome to TVDNA, our spoiler-free watchlist episode. This week, we're going to be talking about all sorts of different shows. Plus, we'll be looking at the shows coming out or already out this week. And we're going to be discussing the latest TV news. My name is Adam Hemming, and I have been joined by Damien Cooper.
Hello.
And Grace Chapman.
Hello.
Now, Grace, it's been a while since we've had you on for a watchlist episode. So tell us, what have you been watching?
Well, you'll be pleased with me, Adam, I think, because I've started Slow Horses.
Amazing.
Was such a great celebration for the listeners. It was a real kind of almost slow motion fist bumping. Yeah, I'm really enjoying it. I've had an episode and a half, so I'm like super fresh. But for listeners who obviously I know long-term listeners would have heard Adam talk about how much he loves this show. But for anyone new, it's basically it's Gary Oldman doing the role he was born to play, Kristin Scott Thomas doing the role she was born to play, and everyone else kind of filling in the gaps, basically. But it's essentially about these kind of, how would we describe them? Disgraced spies?
Yeah, there is it MI5? I think it is, isn't it?
I think it is, yeah.
So Slough House is where essentially the rubbish spies are sent, or they're sent there because they've done something wrong, or they've made a mistake, or they've upset somebody. So they've some sort of misdemeanor in their past, and means they end up in Slough House under the rule of Jackson Lamb, the flatulent Jackson Lamb, played brilliantly by Gary Oldman.
I think the first time you meet Jackson Lamb, he's got two holes in his socks with both big toes pointing out. I think that sums up who Jackson Lamb is. Yeah, and this is a very motley crew, and I'm so early on in the series. I'm really excited to learn like why they're all there, what happened. But the setting is so brilliant. This Slough House is like hasn't really been used since the 70s. Like doors don't open properly. It's just. The setting is really evocative, and London's always raining so far. And it's just, I'm really enjoying it. It's just, it feels really exciting. So I'm into it.
It's a great. I've talked about it loads before, but you've got 3 seasons now, but they're only 6 episodes each, I think, each season. So they are quite short, well-paced shows. I think it's a great show to be getting your teeth into, definitely.
Yeah, and the first series, the plot that the spies are trying to solve is really smart, I think, and feels really like they're very much modern Britain. And also, I don't know why, but it reminds me of Happy Valley, and I don't know why.
Okay. Yeah.
I think it's the plot that the spies are trying, there's a kidnapping, there's a basement where that person's kept, you know, spoiler alert.
Is there any mention of Gary Gygax?
No, but there has been some mention of Poles.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm really, really loving it. I'm really happy that I started it. I think, yeah, it's great. So I'm really into that. And the only other really thing I've been watching is just having a small weep at Queer Eye every so often. I don't really watch Queer Eye that much, but for some reason, sometimes when I get in from work, I've had a busy day, as Damien would say, want to kick back with a bit of live, laugh, love and watch Queer Eye. I'm enjoying it.
I'm always saying that. You're absolutely right. You've nailed me there.
I'm enjoying that a lot. And I think that's basically it. Those two couldn't be more different, arguably.
Cool. I've got a long list and I will try and fire through them because it's been a while. Obviously, I've been watching True Detective. Night Country, as we all have. The latest episode has dropped for the final episode of the series. Listen to that to find out more on our thoughts. I've carried on watching Criminal Record, Adam. I think we've got one episode left, and I'm enjoying it very much because Jumbo, as you've said many times, is phenomenal.
Yeah, that's it's out today at the time of recording. I think the finale episode is out today. But I enjoyed the last one, the penultimate episode. You got a lot more insight into Peter Capaldi's character and kind of why he is the way he is now. And I think he did a really good job of portraying that. It was a little bit of a stretch still for me to get to where they were taking us to. But he's great. I think Peter Capaldi is really brilliant in this, as is Cush Jumbo. Yeah, I'm looking forward to watching that at some point over the next couple of days.
Yeah, it's a recommend from me as well. Carried on watching Expats. Got maybe 15, 20 minutes into the latest episode. I had to throw up my hands and go, I'm out.
No!
Yeah. It was, I mean, it was always going to be tricky to keep me to the end of the series. But I can't even remember what it was now because it was over a week ago. But something happened and I was, oh, that's it. Nicole Kidman and her husband being trapped in that room. And the conversation, I was just like, oh, why am I putting myself through this?
Say it ain't so, Damo. There's been one more episode out since that. So that episode that you're talking about sees Nicole Kidman and her, the guy who plays her husband. They're trapped in one room. And Hillary, the other kind of main character, and her mum, which is hilarious as a overbearing mother character. She is hilarious and brilliant. They're trapped in a lift. And it is kind of, it's a little bit of a filler episode, I'll grant you that one. The next episode is the feature-length penultimate episode, which gives us the perspective of the two hired help. So Essie and Puri, who are the help for these two wealthy families. And it's brilliant. It's so, so good. Like the kind of casual cruelty of the wealthy and the ultimate flaws of the kind of helper system in Hong Kong. There's loads of different characters and stories in it. It's kind of got the 2014 pro-democracy umbrella movement in Hong Kong is sort of featured heavily in that and inspires a lot of that episode and a lot of the characters in it. We get more of the pastor. There's a native upper-class Hong Konger in there as well. It just adds a lot of depth and resonance to the whole show, which I just wasn't expecting. And it's such a bold move to do that. We've got two episodes left, and in the one before the last one, you make it feature length and you make it about essentially about the supporting characters, but it just gives you that different perspective on everything that's going on. The only way that episode could ever have existed would have been with streaming TV, right? That boldness to do that sort of thing in the middle of a limited series, even, I think, wouldn't have happened 10 years ago.
But we still would have had the filler episode that I gave up on. Oh, okay, you've talked me into it. I'll try and carry on.
I've got a question about Expats. It stars Nicole Kidman. Now, is she just being Nicole Kidman or are we seeing something different?
I mean, not massively different from... Is she being Nicole Kidman? Is she being the character that Nicole Kidman plays in a lot of different shows and films?
Correct.
Probably, yeah, a little bit.
But you know, she just can, like, she's, why not, eh?
It's quite an extreme situation that she's put in, so I do think she offers a little bit more. And you know, you either love her or you hate her, I guess
where that's I come in.
I was just gonna say, I say that, and I know that I neither love nor hate her, so I guess you don't either love her or you hate her. She's fine.
I think she suffers a little bit from, I'm the big Hollywood star playing the main character, and so everything I do is just so super important, and deep down I'm really a good person. And anytime I do something bad, it's completely understandable, which I find a bit dull. Talking about dull, I also watched Barbie the movie.
Don't even. It's sublime.
I did that to wind you up, mate.
Thank God.
But... That being said, look, I wanted to really like it. I really wanted to like it. Obviously, I've watched it but a couple of days ago. The film has been out for months. It's been a huge part of the zeitgeist, the marketing, the amount of money has been spent on the marketing of that film. You cannot escape it. I love Margot Robbie. I don't have much of an opinion on that guy who plays Ken. What's he called again?
Ryan Gosling.
Yeah, I don't have much of an opinion on him. I think he's good in The Notebook. I think he's average in some things. I think he's good in other things. But I don't know. Maybe it's the hype, or it just didn't quite stick the landing for me. And I kind of came away a bit underwhelmed. I think the aesthetic is great. I think it has a very clear visual footprint. I guess it's the whole thing about, and I know obviously it's not real, blah, blah, blah. But it felt like it got a bit confused between its worlds. What was where? What is Mattel in this? I found the Will Ferrell thing just, oh, let's give Will Ferrell a fun part and he can be silly for a bit. And I know you're not supposed to really try and put too much logic on a film like this, but it is desperately trying to have it be an allegory for feminism and a patriarchy. So I don't know. I found that that didn't quite marry up for me, which is a bit of a shame. But I get why loads of people think it's amazing.
And I've just kind of literally just finished watching Barbie before we started recording this. And we watched it as a family. And yeah, it's funny because I was, because of all of the hype and everything, I think I was expecting something more. But I thoroughly enjoyed it. I thought it was really, really clever. I thought it was very well written. It was very, very funny in places. I didn't have an issue with the blurring of the worlds. I think that was part of the whole point of it is, you know, that they are two imperfect worlds. And that's the debate and the discussion that's going on within the film. But yeah, I had a thoroughly good time with it. I think it is just because of the hype. I was like, oh, you know, it's not going to win best film. We know that, but I thoroughly enjoyed it and I thought it was a really good watch.
Yeah. I mean, I just really had a great time watching it. And that was all that I needed from it at the time. It's interesting, the one bit that I didn't like is that speech from America Ferrera about being a woman. You think I bloody love that? But I was like, oh, bloody hell, we know. I know. But then it was interesting, I was speaking to Izzy, who does the podcast with us sometimes, and she was saying like her mum loved that speech. And I was like, oh, okay, well, maybe it's because like we're all a bit exposed to that kind of language on social media and all the kind of the movement and all of that stuff. And maybe Izzy was like, you know, my mum was like inconsolable that someone was finally saying it. So I just found that quite interesting about how different sort of generations of women have responded. Obviously, it's a small data pool there. But yeah. Yeah, I just felt like it was really fresh, and that's something I really liked.
And the big thing that Mattel have taken out of this is that it's been a really successful movie. So more movies should be made about toys, not about bringing down the patriarchy, but more movies about toys. So I'm glad that they were on board with the messaging of their own film.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's see how those go. Let's see. Can Polly Pocket World live up to the hype?
And you can tell it's been movie night in the Hemming household because I've just found a bit of popcorn on my jumper. So I'll save that for later.
Yeah, if you hear any eating on the podcast, it's not Neil, it's Adam. So I've slowed down here. Obviously, carried on with Gladiators. We're now in the quarterfinals. I've got to the stage now where I fast forward the chat bits. I just only watch the events now because it's so banal. And Bradley Walsh's son is just terrible. I watched on Netflix Northern Comfort, if either of you have seen that.
No.
I've watched so much stuff, I have to remind myself of what the hell that is. Oh, yes, it's a film. It's got Timothy Spall in it. It's about a group of people who are afraid of flying and they join a fearful flying club. And so who's the lead? So Rob Delaney's in it, but he's not the lead. The woman from the newsroom.
It's not a Baxendale, is it?
No, it's not a Baxendale. It's Emily Mortimer, I think her name is.
Oh, yeah. She pops up in the new look we're going to talk about in a second.
Oh, right. Yeah. No, it's good fun. It's very silly. It's very British. It's passable diversion. It's fun. Timothy Spall's brilliant in it. Emily Mortimer is Emily Mortimer. But there's some fun performances.
Just going to correct these. I've just had a quick Google, and it's Lydia Leonard, who I assume is who you've confused with Emily Mortimer. Fair play. You know, they are quite similar.
Shit, I've watched Emily Mortimer in something else, I guess. Yeah, it's the new look. You're absolutely right. I've got that on my list, of course. Yes. So as well as that, I've watched carried on watching Curb Your Enthusiasm season 12, I think it is. It's just not very good, which is a shame. I think the most of the series is going to be set in Atlanta, which is great, but I just feel like the first time they said this is the final series was probably the time for it to be the final series. I think, as I was saying before, this is the fourth final series.
Yeah.
So I just, you don't need the money, Larry David. So just stop it. Fire country. Believe it or not, I gave Fire Country a go.
What's Fire Country? I'm out the loop on that one.
Well, understandably so. It's a very niche, independent, quite, I say, psychological and philosophical drama. It explores about whether a man can ever truly atone for his sins through the premise of a schlocky TV series where a bunch of inmates sign up for a fire department in the middle of California. Mm-hmm. And it's everything you'd expect from that kind of a show. Within 20 minutes, you've met all the characters and you know how the series is going to go. You know who's going to end up with who, who's going to have a problem. And just to think, yeah, just like really unreasonable barriers for characters to reach their objective, where you just go, that wouldn't happen. It just wouldn't, because that person would lose their job. So why just write better? Why waste our time? So yeah, 25 minutes, I think I got into that first episode. I know we're going to talk about the new look, Adam, so I'll just quickly say the other thing I've been watching. Reluca's got a one-week subscription to Paramount Plus. I don't know, probably paid a couple of quid for it. And we've been watching a series from 2018 called Waco, based on, obviously, the David Koresh hostage situation in the early 90s. Obviously, Grace, before our time, the early 90s. But Adam, you were probably a young man in your 20s about town then.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Or maybe about 15. Anyway, carry on.
But yeah, it's really good. It's got a great cast. Yeah, it's the cast is so good. I just want to get it all. So it's got Michael Shannon. It's got Andrea Riseborough. It's got Rory Culkin, Shea Whigham, Melissa Benoit, John Leguizamo. Just a phenomenal cast. So we're 4.5 episodes into 6 on that. So yeah, recommend. I think it's something you could possibly watch if you were looking for a reason to get a Paramount Plus subscription.
Well, I was going to say, you're pioneering there, Damo. How is it out there in Paramount Plus?
Yeah, I mean, that's probably it. Let's be honest. Had I not seen the offer based on the Godfather films, I would have watched that. But it's slim old pickings.
Yeah, and you better get that series watched quick. You better finish. You say you've got 1.5 episodes left, because they might cancel it any second, right?
Ooh, biting satire. Adam, as we all know, is sponsored by Apple Plus. So he will always try and do down other service providers. But let's also talk about Apple Plus. Let's talk about the new look.
Yeah, the new look. High sewing or posh frocks. This is haute couture in World War II, Nazi-occupied Paris.
Are we looking at high-stakes knitting here? Because I'm in.
High-stakes sewing, definitely.
Okay, I can branch out.
Or at least it is in the first episode. So this is Christian Dior and Coco Chanel, and the story of what happened to them during the Second World War, and the sort of central debate is whether or not them designing and making outfits or collaborating with the Nazis was a sensible thing for them to do, given the pressure that they were under, etc. What did you think, Damo?
Yeah, I really like it. I think we've watched 4 episodes, whatever was out up until last week. I kind of wasn't fully watching the episode 4, but I was kind of listening to it whilst doing something else. I think, yeah, Ben Mendelsohn is brilliant as Christian Dior. I can't remember who he's playing Coco Chanel.
Juliette Binoche.
Yeah. The Binoche is Bosch. She's very good as well. I don't know what that means. Sorry. I have no idea. I think that's what the kids say on the TikTok. Yeah, I think it's really good. Classic Apple, so there's loads of money behind it. It's a really interesting discussion as to, you know, what is being an active collaborator and what is just surviving. It sets up Christian Dior and Coco Chanel to be in very specific positions in that discussion. And as the series goes on, things change. I would say at points remarkably quickly. I don't think there's much padding going on here. I lived in Paris for about a year back in 2005, 2006. And even then, there was this thing of you don't ask anyone over a certain age what they did because of the idea of collaborators and the Vichy government and all that. So it's interesting. We kind of open maybe 5 years after the war or something, 50-something, we open and Dior's starting a new line and Chanel is being interviewed by the press and she's basically called Dior a collaborator. And that's kind of how we open up. And then we flash back to, well, I mean, the Nazis are already pretty much entrenched, aren't they? It's not that they've just turned up. They've been there for a while.
Yeah, and in fact, are on their way out by the time we get into episode three, I think. Well, we're told right at the very beginning that this is a story of survival through creation, that these epic designers, you know, survived by the works that they created. And that's kind of true in the first episode. We see that in the first episode. And then after that, the plot didn't move forward much in the second and third episodes for me. So it does move quite quickly in that first, perhaps second episode. And then I feel like it's starting to stall a little bit. The cast is incredible. Maisie Williams plays Christian Dior's sister. She's fantastic in this. You've got John Malkovich. You've got Klaes Bang. It's a really, really stunning cast. And everyone is brilliant in doing what they're doing. There's definite moments of tension, I think, within each episode. And I think that political decision of whether or not to work for the Nazis is really engaging.
It's interesting. I think, so things do move on a pace in the fourth episode, I think. And I do think that, certainly with regards to Coco Chanel's character, I do think there's quite a lot of movement. I think that happens very quickly. I don't want to go into spoilers, but her journey moves along very quickly. I admit Dior's kind of stalls quite a bit. But a lot happens with Chanel.
Maybe the fact that Christian Dior spent three episodes worrying about his sister has kind of shaded it for me a little bit. But yeah, I Apple TV Plus, they do good stuff, and it's always worth a watch.
I think it sounds great. Maybe I'll give it a try.
And the end of it, obviously, is going to be the opening of the first ever New Look store on the High Street.
Does New Look still exist?
I don't think so.
Oh, it does.
Does it?
Yeah, you know, just clinging on in there with its £5 cardigans.
You'll be telling me next Tammy Girl still exists.
Oh my God, Damo, don't. I used to shop at Tammy Girl and I mourn it every day.
I have two sisters. I know full well what the inside of a Tammy Girl is like, much like a Claire's accessories.
I imagine terrifying for you at that age.
Yeah, I mean, until I got my ears pierced, and then I was looking to see what I could buy, obviously, for myself.
Getting your ears pierced in the window of the shop so everyone could watch.
Yeah, I've always been a classy babe, so I've already said that.
Is that you done then, Damo?
Oui, c'est tout pour moi.
Okay, I've got a few that I quickly want to talk about on top of those. Post-Valentine's Day, I started watching One Day, which I know Neil has already finished. I'm only four episodes into this one. And I haven't read the book or seen the film, crucially. So this is all kind of new to me. But we get Ambika Mod and Leo Woodall, who play the characters whose names I can't remember already.
It's Naughty Nephew Jack from The White Lotus.
It is indeed Naughty Nephew Jack from The White Lotus. And I can't remember what her character name was, but she was the young doctor in This Is Going to Hurt. And they are both very, very good. And this is a cult classic novel, is that fair to say? Maybe not even a cult classic novel, just maybe a modern classic novel. I guess in comparison to the other show that I'm watching, it feels a little bit dated. It's set in the late 80s, early 90s. That's the kind of period. And every episode is one, the same date a year later. Those who've read the book will know all of this already.
Yeah, Raluca was watching this, so I kind of caught bits. From what I could see, it just felt like Ambika Mod, who's playing Emma Morley, seemed quite one-notey, just a little bit snarky and sarcastic about everything.
I mean, that is Emma Morley.
Yeah,
okay. I don't know.
I don't necessarily. I think that she's, yeah, I know. I think she's a little bit more than one note in this, and I think it is the character. And I'm assuming that that's going to develop over time, because every episode is one day. You know, this is a 14-episode series, which does seem a little bit excessive. But there was some fun stuff in there about a TIE company. I enjoyed that. So it's probably a bit of a slow burn. I am enjoying it. It's fine. But because I'm watching so much stuff at the moment, I'm not burning through it in any way. But I know a lot of people who've watched it all and enjoyed it.
So I've read the book and I've seen the film. So there's just nothing in me that wants to watch this. Like, this is a story I know very well. So I'm just like, I'm kind of done with the story. But I think if you haven't seen the film or watched the book, then I'm sure it's a great watch, because it is a cool premise. I know some of my friends have watched it and really liked it. Something holds me back. I guess I just want a new story. So I'm going to go elsewhere. But people are loving it, though. The one thing I would say is that lots of people are like, it's the new style rom-com. I'm like, what? But we've already had it twice.
Plus, we all know you're not into rom-coms. You're into erotic thrillers.
Demo, 90s erotic thrillers.
Shannon Tweed must be respected at all times.
The other romantic drama that I've been watching, I guess, is Alice and Jack on Channel 4. And this is not your typical romance. This is a good comparison piece. So if you are looking for a new story and very much a contemporary story, then Alice and Jack may well be for you. It's definitely in line with the current chaos we live and love in. Again, stellar talent in this. Andrea Riseborough, you mentioned earlier, and Domhnall Gleeson are Alice and Jack. But you've also got Aisling Bea, who was utterly superb. I've watched two episodes. Aisling Bea is superb in that second episode. And you've got Sunil Patel, who's also great. And I'm hoping to see more of Amy Lou Wood than we have so far. I'm a big fan of hers. But essentially, he's a sweet do-gooder and she's a troubled money woman. And at one point, describing her as his ex is compared to calling Chernobyl a mishap. So that's kind of the level of scare. I don't know what the right word is to use. She's very, very much a troubled woman. She has lots of money and he's kind of sort of a sweet, well-meaning guy. But he just is a bit of a drip, I guess, in a sense. And you just know it's not going to end well. Anyway, the funny thing that I found was there's one incredibly important, not short conversation that happens in the back of a car, which I had assumed to be a taxi. But the two of them are sat in the back of this car. So whether it's a friend driving them or a cabbie, it doesn't really matter because it pulls up as they're starting the conversation. Nobody gets out of the car. Whoever's driven them in this car is just sitting there whilst they're having a very long conversation, which did make me chuckle.
I hope they rated the Uber driver 5 stars for that.
Yeah, absolutely. But this is another one that's quite pacey, I think. It goes at a lick. Sometimes that means that we're being told things rather than shown them. But we kind of do see that stuff later on. And it maybe was just a case of, yeah, we want to really sort of hit the ground running with this and get you to this point quick. And then we'll sort of cover a bit more of the detail. And I don't have a problem with that. I think that was all fine. But yeah, I'm two episodes in. Not an easy watch in some ways, but I think it's well made, very, very well made. And their performances are really strong in this. So if that's the sort of thing you're looking for, then it's a recommendation. But I can equally see people getting 10 minutes into it and going, yeah, this is not for me.
I'm going to try that.
The other new show that I've started watching is The Way, which is only just out on the BBC, I think, a couple of days ago at the time of recording. This is the Michael Sheen and, what's his name? James Graham, is it? James Graham's the writer and Michael Sheen's been producing it. Adam Curtis, who's a documentary maker, he's also been involved in creating the show. But essentially, it's the story of this Welsh family and the kind of that it's set in this sort of fictional future, if you like, or fictional present, but where this steel town, Port Talbot, this kind of political unrest sort of develops and then grows and grows and grows and grows to an extreme level. You've got sort of issues of mental health in here, definitely the failing government and failing industry, and just this family caught in the middle of it all. It's pretty bonkers. It kind of opens with a scene of self-immolation. You've got Michael Sheen as a ghost appearing in this and a greetings card that winks. So there's elements of this that are definitely odd and surreal, but I really love the first episode and I'm definitely going to be watching more of The Way. It's a three-parter on the BBC.
Yeah, I think a few people have mentioned this to me as either they were excited about it or they're already enjoying it. So I think, and I really like what Michael Sheen does generally. I think he makes some really good choices. So maybe I'll give this a try. I've got lots to try. This is what I needed, guys. I've been lost in Queer Eye.
I'm going to quickly cover a couple of bits that I've finished. So I finished The Artful Dodger, and this is on Disney Plus. David Thewlis, so good in this and given great dialogue, which he absolutely relishes. Thomas Brodie Sangster makes Dodger the Doctor work. And I'm going to actress's name down, but Belle is brilliant. There's lots to love in this. It's thoroughly entertaining. It's funny. There's kind of romance. There's these heists. There's sort of surgery going on. who'd have thunk that The Artful Dodger would be a good show? But it is.
I heard they were asking for a second series from the controller at the BBC. And they said, please, sir, can I have some more?
I mean, Oliver Twist does show up in this, played brilliantly by Hal Cumston. I don't want to spoil anything, but it's quite special. It really is. I think this is a really enjoyable show. And I can definitely recommend The Artful Dodger. I know Neil's watched it as well. And another one that I'm going to recommend, Grace, sorry, there's lots of good stuff that I've been watching, is Mr. and Mrs. Smith, which I've now finished. It's definitely more of a relationship drama than it is a spy show, although it does the action and the spy stuff, I think, really well. I mean, sometimes definitely pushing the suspension of disbelief in a comedic way for effect. Just the cleverness is kind of in the parallels between their extreme situations and the more mundane, everyday relationship stuff. So, for example, they're transporting a wealthy asset from one place to another, and it's a fairly heavy-handed comparison to a long car journey as a parent. But it does those things usually really, really well. This one was a little bit, okay, we get the point now, move on. But yeah, Donald Glover, Maya Erskine, a great supporting cast. I think it was a really good show, Mr. and Mrs. Smith. I would hope it would get a second season. I don't know if it's been renewed yet.
Great.
I've got one more wild card that I'm going to throw in there, because Fear the Walking Dead is now available on Prime Video. And I am now 7 episodes into the final season, the 8th and final season of Fear the Walking Dead. And it's got all the flaws that we've come to expect from The Walking Dead. Dodgy decision-making, the implausibility is high, but I really love the characters and the cast. And Lenny James, there's a good new generation sort of coming through. And it never really stops hurting when one of them turns. But yeah, Lenny James is the main reason to watch it. And that's it. That's what I've been watching.
That's a good list there.
Yeah, lots of good stuff. Damo.
Talking about good stuff, one other thing that I watched, the BAFTAs that were on.
How was it? I missed it all.
It is what it is. I think someone tried to describe the idea of Britain's last vestiges of soft power and the parochial nature of British TV and film staking its claim amongst Hollywood, which I think is not entirely unfair. Nick Mohammed came on and did a bit that I think would have been absolutely bemusing to the Americans there. They wouldn't have a clue why this man on roller skates with a funny northern accent had this weird monologue. But we also got Murder on the Dance Floor. Sophia Spexter did that, of course. Welcome to the generation that are hearing that for the first time. It was all right. I don't think there was necessarily any big surprises in the winners.
How was David Tennant? I'm now a huge fan, having, if you listen to our Hooniversity Challenge episodes, my appreciation of the man has increased. But how was he as host?
He was David Tennant, right? There was a big opening bit between him and Michael Sheen about him having promised to look after Michael Sheen's dog, but actually suddenly he's busy and Michael Sheen was already going to the BAFTAs. And then there was a whole load of, well, I'll just ring my celebrity friend, Stanley Tucci, suddenly turned up. It was one of the things I didn't like about Barbie, to be honest, is the idea of the joke is, oh, look, that's a famous person. Like, that's the joke in itself rather than anything else, any kind of work going into it. And then he turned up with the dog and put it on Michael Sheen's lap. And everyone was like, oh, my God, it's a dog. It's amazing. I just thought that was a bit naff. But other than that, yeah, it was good. I mean, it's that thing of BAFTAs is mad and it lasts 6 hours. And we get this edited 2-hour version. So you do need someone who's a bit quirky, enough of an international pull, but, you know, obviously a huge titan of British entertainment that has that right level of zany energy to pull people through 3, 4, 5. So I think he was good in that regard.
I mean, I've said it before and I'll say it again. I do find the Michael Sheen-David Tennant relationship very tedious. And that is the one choice that I don't respect of Michael Sheen's.
Well, it sounds like that didn't take your breath away. But what might, Grace and Damo, is Breathtaking, which is out now on ITVX. It's a 3-part drama following NHS medics during the COVID-19 pandemic. Remember that?
So I've had a couple of friends tell me this is brilliant, but I'd still, too soon? I feel like it. I don't want to go back there. I've got no interest, but maybe I should. Ugh.
Well, it also stars friend, fan, and former guest of the pod, Chris Hatherall. So it's something that I definitely want to watch. I've not had time to. I'm seeing Chris on Friday, so I'm hoping to have watched the first episode before then. But I remember him telling me about it when he was filming it and saying it was great. In the same way he was talking about The Long Shadow when he was doing that.
Well, it stars Joanne Froggatt and Mark Dexter, and it's been written by, it's based on a book, I think, written by Rachel Clark. And then the TV show has been co-written by Jed Mercurio and Prasanna Gunaraja, who was in 10% as an actor. But both Jed and Prasanna are former doctors as well, so they kind of have that experience and knowledge. But what I've heard is that this does for the NHS what Mr. Bates versus the Post Office did for those Royal Mail workers.
What, you mean potentially get a Tory cabinet minister fired?
Yeah, hopefully.
Because God knows we need another by-election.
But yes, I will be watching Breathtaking, definitely. It's on my list. But yeah, what else have we got out this week?
Something I'm intrigued by is Borders, which is out on the BBC yesterday at time of recording. So I think you could watch it now. It's about five black inner city teenagers are offered scholarships to a prestigious boarding school. I think this sounds cool. I don't know anything else about it other than that. But it stars Josh Tadeku, Jodie Campbell, Miles Kamwendu, alongside Sekou Diaby and Aruna Jallo. Now, I don't know any of those people, I don't think, which is cool.
Again, this is another one that's on my list that I just haven't got around to getting the first episode watched yet. But I've heard really good things about Borders as well. So I think it's on iPlayer. I think it's on BBC 2 or 3 if you don't have access to the iPlayer.
But you have access to BBC 3.
Is that not a terrestrial channel that anyone can watch?
No, it got cut, didn't it? It got cut from terrestrial like quite a long time. Quite a long time ago, Adam.
I think it's been reinstated. I think BBC 3 has been reinstated again, yeah.
Oh, I can't keep up. It's a roller coaster with BBC 3.
I mean, I watch it all on the iPlayer, so I have no idea of what it's like for norms.
You better have a TV license, Adam.
Of course I've got a TV license.
He uses the one that's connected to the space. He doesn't have one in his actual home. He just, just for those who need to know.
Slander.
Adam, of course, does have a TV license and he pays for all his streaming subscriptions. He doesn't share his passcodes with anyone. He's a very serious individual who does not break the law. Are you happy with that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I certainly pay for all of my streaming subscriptions and I don't borrow passwords off anyone else.
I feel actually you've just incriminated yourself there.
What?
It's all right, you're editing it, so you can just get rid of this bit. But what you can't edit out, Adam, is what is coming to Apple TV on the 21st of February. And that is Constellation. When a fatal accident occurs on board the International Space Station, a lone astronaut makes the heroic journey back to Earth, only to discover key pieces of her life, including her young daughter, have changed. Stars Jonathan Banks, Noomi Rapace, and James Darcy.
I just loved how you told me I could edit that out and then provided a segue that meant I couldn't edit out at all. But yeah, Constellation is another one that I really want to watch. And I may well tuck into this at bedtime tonight. Noomi Rapace, I think is how you pronounce that. But yeah, you do you.
Yeah, I mean, you can absolutely tell I was freestyling that.
Avatar The Last Airbender is out tomorrow. This is the live action version of the much loved animated show, which sees a young boy known as the Avatar master the four elemental powers to save a world at war and fight a ruthless enemy bent on stopping him. I know this is right up Damo's street. It stars Gordon Cormier, Kiawentio Tarbell, Ian Owsley, and Dallas James Liu. And I think those that do love the old Avatar, The Last Airbender, will probably enjoy this as well. I might give it a try. I have got a lot on my list.
You're not going to go see it in 4D, Adam?
No, definitely not. I don't think it's related to that Avatar.
Oh. Oh, well, that's not clear.
But this one's got Colon the Last Airbender after it.
It talks about elemental powers. Basically the same film.
I mean, depending on what I've eaten, my colon is an airbender. Sorry, I'll move on, shall we? For a far more Disney Plus response, on the 27th of February, Shogun drops. It's set in Japan in the year 1600. Lord Yoshi Torunaga is fighting for his life as his enemies on the Council of Regents unite against him when a mysterious European ship is found marooned in a nearby fishing village. And it stars Hiroyuki Sanada from Westworld, Anna Sawai from Pachinko, and Nesta Carbonell from Lost. Now, I just want to check. This Lord Yoshi Torunaga is not the Yoshi that is friends with Super Mario.
No, I'm almost certain it will be. Yeah, I think we can say it will be, right, Adam?
No, it's definitely not, no.
Oh.
We have the Mario Brothers, I believe, is a franchise that's set in or around Italy. Certainly they are Italian plumbers.
Correxes here. In the game, he says, moving his glasses, Mario and Luigi, surname Mario, which is really weird. So Mario is technically Mario squared. Both are from Brooklyn, although they are Italian-Americans. Yoshi is a dinosaur pal from the Mushroom Kingdom. Although Yoshi could, as a dragon, be from Japan and somehow have found himself or herself, I don't think gender or sex has been nominated to Yoshi, in the Mushroom Kingdom.
Well, maybe this is a pre-transformation story for Yoshi. But in this Shogun show, set in 1600, he's more of a humanoid-looking character rather than a sort of green, fun dinosaur character.
He's not giving piggybacks to any plumbers.
I feel like the shows at the end of the coming soon list really get a bad deal with us.
Well, very quickly, just to wrap this up then, Star Wars The Bad Batch, the third and final season, is again out today on Disney Plus. It's more animation in the shape of the second best hospital in the galaxy, which is on Prime. That comes out on Friday, the 23rd of February. And all five seasons of Orphan Black come to ITVX tomorrow, Thursday, the 22nd of February, ahead of the spin-off series coming out later this year.
Now, if anyone wants to hear a really bad Cockney accent, Orphan Black is your show.
Isn't it Tatiana Maslany?
I think so. So she plays six or seven different characters.
Right.
And they're all from different parts of the world. And one of them is a little bit called Blimey Governor. I would say it's not her prime accent. And whilst we're talking about prime, don't forget, Adam, that Wolf Like Me, season two, came out on Prime. I'm pretty sure you watched the first season.
Yeah, I think I must have done. You know, it popped up on my Prime. I kept seeing it again. Oh, I watched that a few years back. Why is that popping up now? It's because there's a second season of it out. It's where she... Is it Isla Fisher? Is it where she is? She turns into a werewolf?
Yes.
Yeah, I think I quite enjoyed that first season. I don't think it was anything earth-shattering, but I think I quite enjoyed it.
It was fine.
Yeah, Sorry, Grace, I spoke over you about two times in a row then. Say what you were going to say.
It sounds like it was fine.
It's fine. Is that my new catchphrase?
I think that's yours, yeah.
Is it, though? What I would say is I remember watching it as well. I think it had very much the energy of Pushing Daisies, a show from the early 2000s that was very quaint and charming. So, yeah, if you enjoy Pushing Daisies, I think you probably will enjoy Wolf Like Me.
We'll cover a little bit of TV news then, quickly. So a bit of casting news for you. I'll start off with the casting couch news. Scott Glenn, previously of The Leftovers and Daredevil, is the latest addition to the White Lotus Season 3 cast. It's a pretty bumper cast now. Catherine O'Hara is joining The Last of Us Season 2. And Molly Shannon has been cast in Season 4 of Only Murders in the Building. Some pretty exciting news in there.
So, Scott Glenn from Daredevil. I didn't see that coming. Isn't Daredevil blind?
Yes, he is. Yeah. Scott Glenn's, I think Scott Glenn's character in that, which is Stick, and I think he is also blind, actually.
The joke worked on multiple levels, Damo.
Yeah, I felt like I was given something for the MCU fans there.
So, basically, Scott Glenn's going to be the kind of problematic older character figure in The White Lotus. it sounds like. And I, as soon as I heard that Catherine O'Hara was joining The Last of Us, I'm just absolutely thrilled. What a fantastic, fantastic idea.
Do you have any insight into who she might play, Damo, in the game?
I was trying to... She's not playing... I don't really want to have any spoilers, but I have a feeling it might be similar to your woman from Yellow Jackets in season one of Fargo, who played Kathleen, like a character that was made just for that. But I'm kind of hoping that she has a bit of Moira shit about her. I would quite enjoy a Joel or an Ellie.
Melanie Linsky's the name of the actress you're looking for.
And there's some bit of news that I'm really, really excited about coming up here. So obviously it's February, okay? So I'm only like 10% excited about Christmas, but Gavin and Stacey are working on a Christmas special for this Christmas, guys! Oh, God! Oh, I'm so excited. They do their Christmas specials have been some of the all-time best, so I'm really looking forward to this.
I want weekly now an update on the percentage increase of how excited you are for Christmas.
I can confidently give you that.
Yeah. For most of us, Christmas is not even a thought in February. But it's great to know that you're 10% excited for it already.
Oh, Adam, you know what you'll be excited about? Invasion. Renewed for a third season.
Well, I haven't seen the first two seasons of this because it wasn't very good. And so I don't know. Do I go back to it just because it's been renewed for a third season?
So I thought this was Secret Invasion.
No. This is Apple TV's Invasion. Very much a public invasion, this one that happens. But it is about an alien invasion. What I heard was, I tried to watch the first episode of the first series, couldn't really get into it and had too much other stuff to watch. I heard the second season was a bit better, but I still haven't gone back to watch it. So I don't know. It's not thrilling news. I mean, I'm a bit more excited about Guy Ritchie's The Gentleman, which is lots of good stuff coming out in March. This will be out on the 7th of March on Netflix. It stars Theo James, Kaya Scodelario from that show Skins, Daniel Ings, Vinnie Jones, Jodie Richardson, and Giancarlo Esposito. And with a cast like that, you've got to expect some sharp suits and some criminal activity, right?
Absolutely. Maybe, hopefully not kind of very late 90s staccato Mockney dialogue, which I do think suffers a little bit. I think there's a bit more of that still in Guy Ritchie's oeuvre, sadly. I just want to confirm that Daniel Ings and not footballer Danny Ings.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay. Because that could be confusing.
They've never been seen in the same room at the same time.
You know, we should just talk about the thing that we're all really excited about, truly, is that The Bear season 3 is coming to our screens in the summer. And I, for one, cannot wait.
It's going to be early summer as well. It's going to be June. So block out some time in June for some podcast recording on The Bear, because we'll definitely be covering this one. And at the same time, we're going to be busy summer for me, because Star Wars The Acolyte has also been confirmed as coming out this summer, and Neil and I are almost guaranteed to be covering that one.
Well, sorry, but you guys have completely jumped over the thing I'm excited about, which is Twisted Metal, which has now been released on Paramount Plus, or at least it will be on the 21st of March, starring Stephanie Beatrice and other people.
Anthony Mackie?
Mm-hmm.
Do I renew my Paramount Plus subscription just for Twisted Metal? I've switched my Sky, my Now TV subscription for a film subscription, so I can get some of those movies watched, because actually there's not a great amount coming out on Sky and Now TV at the moment, now that Night Country's done.
I agree. I think probably not worth watching Twisted Metal. I was being sarcastic about it. As much as I love Stephanie Beatrice, I don't think it's going to be one to watch.
Well, it's been out in the States last year, and it was critically well received, and I think has got a second season coming, but I will wait until there's a critical mass of at least two shows on Paramount Plus that I want to watch, maybe three. I'm quite excited about the fact that Alan Dale is joining the cast of The Wreck for the second season. I don't think many people watched this, but it was a quirky comedy on the BBC last year. It was set on a cruise ship Some really good people in it, a lot of young up-and-comers in it as well. But it was, yeah, it was a decent, quirky comedy. It wasn't perfect by any stretch, but I thoroughly enjoyed it. And having old Jim Robinson join for season two is a good thing. We've had some trailers. We'll pop links to these in the podcast description, but some exciting shows coming up. Prime Video's comedy thriller Dead Hot stars Bilal Hasner, who is also in Extraordinary, come to that in a second. Also in Dead Hot is Vivian Opara, Penelope Wilton, and Peter Serafinowicz. That comes out on the 1st of March, so not too long to wait for that one. It looks quite good. Disney Plus have got a Tudor murder mystery called Shardlake, which stars King of the North, Sean Bean, Arthur Hughes, and Anthony Boyle, who I'm currently enjoying in Masters of the Air. And Extraordinary, season two, is coming out on the 6th of March. We've got a trailer and we've got a release date for Extraordinary. And I'm very excited about that and I'll definitely be watching it.
Also, The Sympathizer is coming to TV. It's an espionage thriller and a cross-culture satire about the struggles of a half-French, half-Vietnamese communist spy during the final days of the Vietnam War. And his new life as a refugee in Los Angeles is stars probable future winner of Best Supporting Actor Oscar, Robert Downey Jr., and Sandra Oh. Now, I don't know about you. Initially, I wanted to hate this. But the more and more I thought about it, I thought they've probably put quite a lot of effort into this. Everyone's probably worked really hard. And I couldn't help but like them. I sympathise with them, Adam.
There is one trailer that's not on here that I'm quite excited about, which is it's for a film. So just, you know, hear me out. But it's Scoop, which is a film on Netflix starring Gillian Anderson, Rufus Sewell, Billy Piper and Keeley Hawes. And it's about the Prince Andrew interview. And Gillian Anderson is playing Emily Maitlis. And I'm quite excited about this. This comes out on the 5th of April. So the trailer looks great.
Gillian Anderson is incredible, as we know. Yeah, it will be fascinating to watch.
Pizza Express and Woking better be prepped.
Yeah.
They've got to be having watching parties there, surely. Everyone getting the spiciest pizza possible, proving that they don't sweat.
Well, that just touching back on that Sympathizer trailer, you see Robert Downey Jr. in loads of different outfits. It's unclear whether he's a spy who just gets dressed up lots of different ways or is playing numerous different characters in this show. Anyway, Sky have ordered Joe Barton to work on an adaptation of Amadeus, the Peter Shaffer play that he famously already adapted into a film. So why we need a TV show of it now, I don't know. But it will star Will Sharp from The White Lotus.
For half a second when I read this, I thought it said Joey Barton. I don't know if you know who Joey Barton is, Grace, but he's an ex-footballer who's suddenly become like a darling of the right-wing media because he doesn't think women should dare commentate on men's football. That was his kind of gateway bit of culture war wedge issue, and he's just falling down that. He just loves it. So I guess if Peter Shaffer is playing Amadeus, I guess we don't have casting on, what was his name, the Italian guy?
No, Peter Shaffer wrote Amadeus play and then adapted that to be the film. So he's not playing. Sorry. I think Will Sharp is going to be playing Amadeus.
That's it, sorry. Will Sharp, yeah. And then we don't know who's playing the Italian guy. What's his name? Salieri, that's right, Adam, yeah. We don't know who's Salieri.
I don't think so. I may have it wrong, actually. Maybe Will Sharp playing Salieri, but he's going to be in it. Again, it's early stages for this show, so we can update as and when we get more news on that. But a little bit disappointing for me that we're going back to another IP that's already been made into a very successful film.
One day.
Maybe we could underscore the news as and when we get it with some Mozart. How do we feel about that?
I'm not sure it warrants that. I'm not sure the news warrants that level of quality music behind it. But I can confirm Will Sharp is playing the title role.
I'm going to ask for a progress check on Amadeus every week.
Amadeus and your Christmas percentage.
That's there we go. Doing.
Finally then, David Thewlis, who I mentioned before, was brilliant in The Artful Dodger. He and Doug Ray Scott and Blue Hunt are going to be working on Sherlock and Daughter in the US. Doesn't yet have a UK channel or partner attached to it. They're going to be working on that show anyway.
What did you call me?
What did I call you?
Blue Hunt.
Listeners, we've made it to the end of the briefing notes. We never do that.
Me and Damo did it recently. We got through a whole load of stuff, just powered through it. So thank you, Grace. I know you're really tired. I know we set a tight 60 for this recording and we've gone a little bit over.
It's okay.
It's the new regime. Get through it all and move on.
Get your head down.
Grace on a...
I literally knew that was coming. I can't say anything.
Gran, what are you going to watch? If you were going to go and watch something now, what would it be?
If it's not Slow Horses, I would go and watch Alice and Jack.
Demi?
Oh, Breathtaking, which is what I might actually go and watch on ITV.
Yeah, I think for me, I'm going to watch the finale of Criminal Record. That's what I'm going to go and do right now. But this has been amazing. I think our next episode due out will be our University Challenge episode on Matt Smith. And then we'll be back with another watch list episode, I'm sure, soon. Possibly some specials coming up. We've been talking about maybe The Way, maybe Shogun. Let's see what people want to do. But we'll definitely be back with regular, spoiler-free watch list episodes to make sure you get the best recommendations for what to watch on TV. If you want to let us know what you're watching, if we've missed anything that you're desperate for us to talk about, you can contact us on the social media at TVDNAPod. Or you can email tvdnapod@gmail.com. And that's it, isn't it?
I think so.
Grand.
Thank bye. You.
Oh, thank you, Grace.
Thanks. Bye.
You can tell he's watched Barbie recently because he's just interrupting you all the time, Grace.
Honestly.
It's the patriarchy doing the patriarchy.
But it's not just about...
I would not interrupt Grace. I wouldn't do it.
It's not just about horses, guys. All right?
Oh, lovely, lovely stuff.
I felt it becomes a little bit more... Well, the plot didn't really move further. The plot didn't move much.
Well, there's something
Where do we start?
Sorry, go ahead. Oh, blip, 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 flab.